This morning we have a guest joining us by phone. It's Barb Fuller, who's an Iowa State University Extension and Outreach Human Sciences Specialist in Nutrition and Wellness. Barb, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome.
So did you have a healthy breakfast?
I did. I always have a healthy breakfast.
I figured.
Great way to start a day.
Yeah, somebody like you has to. I figured you just don't get away from healthy that much.
That's right.
Hey, we have a program coming up here in Cass County. It's going to be a, kind of a partnership between the Extension and the local Nishna Valley Family YMCA. It's entitled Don't Give Kids a Tummy Ache. Well, gee, that sounds like a good idea, doesn't it?
That is a good idea. We don't like our kids to be sick or the kids that we may be taking care of if you're a child care provider.
Is a lot of this training geared toward child care providers?
It is. They get 2 hours of credit that they need every year for both the food program and licensing credit with Department of Human Services. So they get that, but it's open to lots of people.
Do you get a lot of other folks that'll come in, maybe new parents or what have you, that'll stop in for this too?
Oh, a few people. There is a cost, so sometimes it's not much of a cost. It's $10, but sometimes people come and everybody learns something.
Like what? What do you touch on? What topics do you hit in something like this?
Well, the basic premise is to prevent a foodborne illness or food poisoning, as some people like to call it. But we just start out with what are the common things to look out for, and is it the flu or is it foodborne illness? And sometimes, especially this time of year, when there's lots of sick kids, we have trouble figuring out what it could be.
Yeah, as adults, we have a little experience through life with the things that ail us, and we can usually kind of tell generally whether it's something we should seek medical treatment for or not. Young children, you know, not so much. They don't have the experience, and they don't sometimes know how to verbalize what's bothering them.
That's true. And also young children, especially those toddlers and preschoolers to young school age, can get dehydrated pretty quickly, so it doesn't take much to get them sick. We put them in one of our groups that are the most likely to be ill and the most likely to have problems with a foodborne illness. So we want to keep them healthy, whether they know what's happening to them or not, but how to prevent it, that's what we're going to focus on.
Oh, absolutely. And especially this year, where it seems like the flu has been so much more prevalent, especially among the young children.
And we'll talk about the difference between flu, which is really influenza, and the 24-hour vomiting and diarrhea, which is probably a foodborne illness, norovirus.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like you're going to have a little bit of fun with this, too.
Yep. We're going to play, it's called Fight Back, B-A-C, short for bacteria, bingo. So everybody gets a bingo card, and they'll get 4 questions in a row and 16 questions total, and we will have some prizes. It's always interesting to see how many people learn something just from those statements that will give you a true or false statement and what they may or may not know about preventing foodborne illnesses.
Sure. Is a lot of this common sense stuff, Barb, that we probably already know but are getting kind of a refresher course on?
Well, some of it is, and some of it is just bad habits we may have at home. Things that you learn from your mother or your grandmother or your aunt that maybe are not the best things to do at home or, again, in a child care setting.
Don't you find that sometimes these days, no offense to folks, I know some folks do spend a ton of time in the kitchen and do love cooking from scratch, but so few people do that anymore. So much of what we eat comes out of bags, cans, and boxes, and the preparation we do really doesn't amount to a whole lot more than warming and what have you, but so when we do try to do something maybe a little bit more extravagant, maybe we don't have quite as much experience as our parents or grandparents had. So maybe we're not that up on, you know, some of the dangers to look for.
Well, that could be true. But even if you're just warming things up, if you've looked on even a frozen pizza box, it says must be thoroughly heated or heated to 165 degrees. It has directions on there. So even just heating up those things can still be a problem, but right, if you're getting out a cutting board and a knife and you haven't cleaned your sink or you haven't washed your hands, you're setting yourself up for a problem.
Wait, clean your sink? I bet a lot of people are shocked to hear that.
Clean your sink. What else goes in your sink? You put dirty dishes, you put coffee cups, all of a sudden now you're going to start washing vegetables or doing something else that's not going to be cooked. Whatever was in the sink is now on your food.
So are we using chemical cleaners and things like that to get where we need to be?
Well, it's not a bad idea just to use a little household bleach diluted in your sink, depending, again, how much you use it and what you do, but at least once a week to just give that diluted bleach, swish it around in your sink, and it'll be fine. Wiping off your countertops with a bleach solution or even any of the sanitizing wipes that are made for kitchen, those are great for countertops.
I don't want to give away all your secrets because we do want folks to attend the training because they'll learn so much more, but are these some of the more common mistakes that folks make?
Well, it kind of breaks down into four things. So we'll talk about cook. So what are the temperatures? How do you know when something is actually done? Chill. So after it's cooked, what are you doing? Or if you have leftovers or even if you've gone out to eat and you have a doggy bag or food that you're transporting to a picnic or an event, then we'll talk about clean, like I just mentioned. And then the other thing is how are you going to separate food, so prevent that cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of issues there. You know, a lot of folks are going to find that some of these tips are going to be good for them this weekend when they get together for parties to watch the big football game on Sunday. It's an opportunity to have a good chunk of time spent preparing food, and then likely it's going to sit out for a long period of time.
That's right, and that is, I could talk to you about that one too, but yes, food sitting out, so whether it's a picnic, a Super Bowl party, a large event, how long is food at room temperature? If it's something that really should be hot or something that really should be cold, 2 hours is kind of that magic time limit.
And then it needs to get refrigerated, not just set out on the deck or in the garage where it might be cooler, but you know, put in some place where you can control the temperature.
That's right.
Yeah.
Refrigerator, or if your refrigerator is getting too full, so things might not cool off quickly, at least a cooler with some ice in it would be a good, better choice than just setting it outside.
Yeah, you bet. And I suppose the utensils that we use to serve different things, too, you want to make sure in some cases that they're not cross-contaminating there.
That's right. So that comes under the clean part. So those clean utensils and what are you handling the food with once it's cooked?
You know, the session that you're going to be providing is for dealing largely with children. Don't give kids a tummy ache. But do we deal differently with them than we do with adults with these issues?
No, not really. But like I mentioned before, young children as well as older people are at higher risk of contracting a foodborne illness and becoming really sick, hospitalized, and even possibly dying. 3,000 people a year die of a foodborne illness in the United States in a year's time.
Well, it sounds like it'll never happen to me, but let's just be safe and keep it that way.
That's right.
Yeah, very good. Again, this training workshop is coming up on Monday, February 16th. It'll be held at the Nishna Valley Family YMCA in Atlantic from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Do they need to register in advance?
They do. We have some handouts, and of course we have to make up bingo cards and a little booklet they'll get. So if we know how many people are coming, then we'll be ready for that. We need a pre-registration to the Extension office in Atlantic by the 13th, so just a few days ahead, the Friday before, so we can have everything ready for Monday night.
Is there a limit on how many people you can handle?
I suppose as many as the Nishna Valley YMCA room can hold. I would think 20-25 would be fine. We probably can't handle 100.
Let's hope that it's a problem wondering where you're going to put everybody, right?
That's right.
Excellent. Again, a $10 registration fee with that. And if you do have any more questions at all about that, and I know they have a brochure available too, you can check that out online at extension.iastate.edu/CAS, or you can always call the Cass County Extension Office here as well, 243-1132. Is the telephone number, and you get a chance to spend the evening with Barb.
Well, thank you. Yes, you do.
Great opportunity. Barb, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Take care.